Nein.
Record. I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. And just want to say welcome to the newcomers and happy birthday to everybody. That was awesome. And thanks for asking me to come down here with you, Pat, be your speaker. It's funny, I've been going to meetings with Pat for many years, and before, like, he'd invite you to a speaker meeting, but he wouldn't tell you who the 10-minute speaker would be, and you're like sitting in your chair, and then the next thing you know, they're like, yeah, James, you're the 10-minute speaker. And I'm like, so today I knew, so that was awesome. Pat is a dear friend of mine and a spiritual advisor of mine as well. So I guess I'll tell you what it was like. You know, I just want to again say welcome to the newcomers. I remember the first time I came to Alcoholics Anonymous this time around. I remember what that felt like, going to a room full of people and like wanting to go connect with people because I knew this is where the solution was. And like there's clouds of cigarette smoke and there's coffee and chatter and people smiling and just feeling like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't walk up to someone and tell them what my name is and say hello. So if that's how you felt tonight, welcome. I have a sobriety date of January 4th, 2008. I have a sponsor named Tom, and I have groups that I attend regularly. One of my home groups is on Wednesday night, the South Coast Speakers Meeting, and I do exactly what Kelly says. After the meeting, I stack chairs. That's where I find my best service work is stacking chairs out back. You know, sometimes that's the only thing I can really do, you know, and I'll get to that. But what it was like for me, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. My parents were never married. My mom had me when she was 16. My dad was 17. So I grew up doing the back and forth every other weekend thing. And, you know, my stepdad drank and used. My mom, you know, smoked pot, and so did my real dad. And when I would go stay with him, I would always smell this smell. You know, I don't know if you know what that smell is. It's like, there'd be like these weird tinfoil ornaments, you know, I didn't know what they were. It was a tinfoil pipe, you know? And, but that stuff was just kind of in the background. But when I first drank, it made it really easy for me because like everything was around me. Like it was great. Didn't have money. Couldn't get something. Great. I knew where my dad's stash is. You know, I mean, and he would think he's slick. Like he'd hide it. And you just, you know, if you grew up with parents who are addicts or alcoholics, you just watch them long enough and you'll find the source. Okay. He's going over there. All right. I got it. But, that's neither here nor there. So I remember the first time I drank and got high was with one of my uncles, and, you know, at the time, you know, I'd been moving around a lot. My parents splitting up. I'm moving all over the region of Southern California. And it, just all that weird awkwardness that we feel at like 13, 14, that went away. I remember just getting high, laughing hysterically, and feeling like they had lied to me. I don't know if anybody else went to the DARE program, but it's like they lied to me, right? They made it sound like this explosion was going to happen. The detectives and like the little police dog, we're going to come out of nowhere and you're a criminal and you're on dope and you're in jail. Like that was the message of the 90s, right? And for me, what happened is I found alcohol as a solution to living because I kept getting in trouble, and I got a probation officer and they said, you have to drug test. And so my thinking is, I don't have a drug test, or I don't have a drug problem. I have a drug testing problem.
Right.
If there wasn't a test, there'd be no issue. And I'm a slick guy. I'm smart. Oh, you can't test me for alcohol in a you know, dipstick test. So then I start drinking. And before I know it, I'm a daily drinker. And that's where alcohol became my solution. And what I found out quickly is I separated from the pack very fast. I excelled, not in education and sports, but in my alcoholism. And if you just weren't dedicated, I wasn't about you. Like, this guy's lame. He doesn't want to do it the way I'm doing it. Gone, right? Finding the next guy and the next guy. And that's the people I ran with. And, you know, just to speed it up so I could tell other parts of my story, what eventually happened is I ran on that until, you know, I found other good party favors like crystal meth and, you know, just living that life, you know. And it's like I'm drinking, using meth, smoking weed, taking Xanax, anything from the neck up that would change the way I feel, I would do. Didn't matter. And for me, what happened is, you know, I was about to be a father. I was in and out of jail. I was 18 years old. I had three court cases in three different counties. And just a train wreck. And I'd been to these rooms before. I'd heard the message. I'd tried sobriety. I'd met guys like Kelly and Kent's previous attempts at sobriety. So I knew there was something here. And I showed up to a place in Palm Desert called Fellowship Hall. And just what I described to you when I was new, that's how I felt when I walked in. So if you feel like, man, everyone knows each other and this is a cool kids crowd and I'm not welcome here, we've all felt that way. And you are welcome here. And, you know, that's really for me where things started to change. You know, I got a sponsor, worked steps, started showing up, moved out here to be a part of my daughter's life when I was about a year and a half sober. And like, there's a lot of different phases of sobriety and I don't know. And all I have is my experience. Sometimes, you know, I would hear people share and think, oh, that's going to happen at year one. And that's going to happen at year five. And that's what's going to happen at year 10. And I don't know what's going to happen for you at any of those milestones. But what happened for me was, when I was about 20 years old, I had to learn how to grow up. I got sober as a young person. So I didn't like have a wife or a house or like bills and things like that. So I had to like figure out how to get that stuff. And for me, it's like, I don't know about you, but if I try something once or twice and it doesn't work out, it's like, eh, that's hard. I don't want to do that. You know, and like, you know, Pat was my sponsor at the time. And I remember telling him like, you know, this thing ain't working out for me, trying to be a dad and start my life and be in Orange County and bagging groceries at Albertsons. And I'm sober, but I'm just freaking miserable. You know, I don't know if you've been there. It's like, what's the point of this? This sucks. I'm going back to my mom's. And what happened is, you know, Pat told me the truth. He's just like, okay, I'm not in favor of either, but, you know, eventually you're going to have to grow up. And it's like, I don't want to talk to that guy. I'm not going to call him for a while. I'll show him. And then, you know, it's like that's where I find my higher power is when I'm able to get information that I hear from people in these rooms and from the book and the program. And, you know, when I'm driving somewhere, like on the way to the beach in the morning, and you have that, like, moment of clarity, right? That is what I believe conscious contact with God is, when the truth comes out, or the voice of reason, you could say. And so from there, you know, I leaned in and got busy and started putting one foot in front of the other, living life on life's terms and trying to do this adulting thing in sobriety too. Because I think it's one thing to come and hide out in AA and eat all the cake and take all the free stuff and get the rides. And I'm going to get a guy like Kelly or Kent to buy my dinner at Denny's afterwards or something and just not do shit. Like, you can stay sober on that, but eventually it's going to come the point where, you know, you got to apply traditions to your life. And that's where the seventh tradition is really important. For me in my life, it's more than just putting money in the basket. When I take that into my own life, it's about being accountable. It's about showing up. It's about being a contributor rather than a taker, because that's what I was for a long time, even in AA. What I described was like just hanging out, wanting people to do for me what I should be doing for myself. So traditions are just as important as steps. So I, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of a group where we did that type of work too. And for the last few minutes, I just want to share, you know, what it's like now. And, you know, I've done different geographics in sobriety. I can report no matter what county I live in, no matter what my job is, no matter who I'm with as a partner, no matter who I have as a sponsor, the problem is still right here. You know, no matter where I've gone, like, that's the bad news, but it's also the good news because there's a solution. So how I'm living today is I still try to show up to my regular meetings. I show up to work. I pray in the morning. I try to help guys where I can. And I'm not here to like get anybody sober. That's what I got to remember. I'm not here to tell people how to live. All I have is my experience. And for me, I'm a knucklehead. I want to like touch the stove 10 times before I admit it's hot, you know? So I get to let people have their own experience with that and know that God's with them on their journey. And I'll go ahead and just wrap it up with a couple quick things. It's Mother's Day too. So happy Mother's Day to everyone celebrating. And, you know, there's been a lot of good things in my recovery. Like, I just got married a few weeks ago, and thank you. And that's been awesome. But there's been some bad times too. And the two things I've grieved the most is, you know, when my kid's mom moved to the Bay Area and I lost custody of my daughter. And the other thing is my mom was recently diagnosed with glioblastoma brain cancer. She just had a grade 4 tumor removed, and we start radiation next week. And I want to respect the timer. But what I'm saying is that I'm sober and I'm putting one foot in front of the other, trusting God. And I'm going to get on a plane sometime next week and go to my mom's radiation appointments with her. And more will be revealed. Thank you, guys.